Hey everybody, this is Stu Smith with another Tactical Fitness Report, and I have a special guest, Mark Hildebrandt, who is a law enforcement officer out of LA County Police Department. And welcome, Mark. I'll go Thank into you, your bio here in a minute, but I just want to welcome you here because you got a great story that I want to share with you guys. And for you guys wondering what we're going to talk about today, we're going to talk about Mark's journey and a weight loss of over 100 pounds while he was in the law enforcement profession. And so it's a really cool story. So we're going to really hit that. But first, let me just tell you a little bit more about Mark. Mark Hildebrandt is a current law enforcement officer for the LAPD who struggled through a 100-pound weight loss journey and losing touch with his family while working his crazy career. After successfully getting in the best shape of his life at 43 years old, he now shows other law enforcement officers how to generate the time and energy so you can thrive in their career, get into incredible shape, and make a real impact with their family without spending all day doing so. So that sounds like a great mission, Mark. When did you start, when did you realize you had that desire to start a mission like you're on right now?
Ooh, great question. Great question. So I have about 18 years on LAPD. And when I got to about my 10-year mark is kind of when I had, and I know we kind of talked about this on my podcast a few minutes ago, I had that pain, right? I had that pain that was worse to stay the same than it felt to actually put the change into place, right? Because when we get to that point where the pain of staying the same is more than the pain of change, we take action. And I wasn't taking control of my health. My mental and physical health and fitness was suffering. The connection with my family was suffering. It was about the time that my son was born that I kind of like had that rock bottom moment, which is funny because being rock bottom is just really a thought that we decide in our head, right? We just make a decision. It's not like this concrete thing. But my son had to spend 73 days in the NICU. He was born at 1 pound, 9 ounces. Wow. He was born at 27 weeks and he had a bunch of different operations and whatnot. And I didn't realize at the time that I had basically let everybody down in my family, myself, because I was using my career as an excuse. And I mean, fast forward, my son made it. He's amazing. And he might bust through the door and ask me what it is that I'm doing at any minute. But I was able to successfully navigate, like you said, a weight loss journey. But more importantly, and I say this all the time because I post a lot of before and after pictures because that's what people like to see, right? Sure. But what they don't see is the transformation that happens inside. And that transformation was exponential for me. It helped me connect better with my wife. It helped me connect better with my kids, you know, striving to always become a better father, better husband. I'm getting my health and fitness under wraps, as well as leading from the front and setting boundaries at my career, because it wasn't my career that did those things to me. It was me letting my career do that to me. And so I guess getting to your question, why did I start this is because I saw so many other people who were doing it and they were protecting the excuses that it couldn't be any different. And I'm like, yes, it can. I'm living proof because of the failures and struggles that I went through. And you can go through it yourself if you want to, or I can help guide you through it so you can skip out on that. And so that was like the desire of what can I do? What can I create to basically help people who are willing to accept the help get through that and come out better the other side and do it quicker than I did?
Oh, I love that. You know, I it's very powerful if you can get in someone's head and make them realize the mistakes that you have made. Mm-hmm. And if you can avoid those same mistakes, I mean, that is powerful. I personally love mistake stories. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd rather hear a mistake story than a success story.
Yep.
You know, let me hear all your mistakes that you had, all your failures, and then why you kept going. You know, right. Those are the best. So tell me this, what was the first thing that you did when you realized, holy crap, I'm 100 pounds overweight? One, what was that like carrying that around? I mean, I carry around 50 pound backpacks and I imagine myself being 50 pounds heavier and what that would feel like. 100 pounds heavier is, that's a heavy backpack. But what was your first things that you did to turn that around?
It's a great question. So A lot of people reach out to me and ask me that question, and they're looking for like which food plan I followed, what kind of fitness did I jump into. And at the time, that's what I thought had started that transformation for me. But to be honest, when I think back to that time, what initially started was I made a decision. And what I mean by making a decision is I decided that I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm going to do it until something works. And nice. It wasn't a, hey, let me dip my toe into something. It was like, hey, like this is probably not going to work, because like whenever we have an idea of like what success is going to look like, it never takes the path that we think it's going to take. Right. That's and so true. Having that realization of like, you know what, I need to do something. My family depends on me. I depend on me. Right. And my career depends on me. What the best thing that I could do is make a decision that I'm going to take action. And I don't know what that's going to look like. But if I fail in the process and if I keep going, that's really what success looks like. I know you talked about like, you like hearing failure stories. Me too. But what's funny is like, if you dig deep enough in all the success stories, there's a failure story there too.
Absolutely.
It's like, where is it? You're leaving that part out. That's the most important part. Tell me all about it, right? Tell me all the things, because like there is a lot of failure before success comes. So many people think that it doesn't happen that way. I know we were just talking on my podcast and you talked about failing the first fitness test you did. And it was like, really, like so many people leave that out. That is such an important part of the story. Not only does it, because it make you feel like you're a human person like the rest of us, right, Stu?
Yep.
And you've been able to get through that and succeed to where at the level you're at right now, which people from the outside are looking and go, oh, Stu had it all worked out. Like everything was good for him, right? And so like, not only is sharing your failure is important because it makes other people feel, you know, show you that you're human, but it's just the way that it works. I mean, any success that you have, you're going to look back at and go, where were the failures that led me up to that? So I guess that's how best I can answer that question.
No, that's a great way to do it. Like I said, I learn a lot from other people's failures, but they're not failures. They're learning experiences. Mm-hmm. That's how you have to reframe this thing. You know, when you're on that journey of 100-pound weight loss, these are learning experiences. You know, maybe this isn't going to work for you, so let's try something else. You know, turn it around like that. I have been, you know, as a coach for almost 25 years now, I have been blessed to be a part of that journey of people 100-150 pound weight losses. And those are life-changing weight losses, but it also took it required a lifestyle change in order to do it. Mm-hmm. But you know, some of the simplest ways to get started is just to set a habit of walking 20 minutes every day and replacing any sugar drink that you drink with water. Mm-hmm. If you can do that, you're going to see a massive reduction come real quick, especially if you have it to lose. Now, it gets a little bit more difficult. Those last 10 or 15 pounds that you're trying to lose, those are probably the hardest. But the first 50 aren't really that hard if you just keep up some really basic things. So what were some of those basic things that you were able to do that worked for you?
I love that. And we'll talk about that, getting 1% better. But you said something a few minutes ago that I think is extremely powerful. And I wanted to bring it up and acknowledge you for doing it. And that was like this idea of reframing failures. And then I'll get into your question. But this one was like, it's very powerful for me, because the thing is like we can have a circumstance, like let's say we fail something, like let's say you fail your physical fitness test. And how you reframe that can go in any different direction. It doesn't have to be that the circumstance or failing that test should change. It's what you do with that. So some people will go like, their thoughts will range around, well, I guess this is just, you know, proof that it's not possible for me, that I'm not good enough. And they'll go down that spiral, and that spiral leads you down to taking no action or taking negative actions and withdrawing and doing all those things, right? It makes you feel like depression and all that stuff. But you can also think about it like, hey, this is a wake-up call. Like this is the universe saying, hey, we want you to prove that you really, truly want this. Do you want this? And instead you're now invigorated. You're like motivated. You're like using that same circumstance to actually fuel you to get out, to do more, to like you say, you follow your tactical fitness plans, you know, actually work towards that test as opposed to working towards what people in the future are working towards. So reframing it is critical. And so many people think it's the circumstance that is the big deal. It's not. It's like how you respond, like people say, to that circumstance that either drives you to actually make it into a success or turn the opposite direction. So I appreciate you for bringing that up. That is such a solid, solid point. In terms of what I did to first get started is I just started trying many, many different things. So I would get up, I would, you know, go, like you said, go on walks and things like that, which at the time they seem insignificant. Okay. They seem insignificant, but you do that every day and it builds up. Now, here's the thing. So many people think that when you like, I'm just going to say using a walk as an example, so many people think that that's just specific to your fitness, but when you're going on a walk, you can clear your mind. You yep. can think more clearly. You get a second to kind of like meditate in your own brain. It clears your, that like the space. You can even practice gratitude on your walks. You can listen into personal development in your AirPods, right? There's so much growth that you can experience. For me, it's anytime I go out for a walk, because I just finished the 75 hard. So I was doing two workouts a day. My second workout would always be just taking a walk with one of my family members. So either my son, my daughter, or my wife. And so what I did is I took this fitness and I incorporated my family into it. And then I had times that I just go out by myself so I can have that mental clarity, because so many times we're running from thing to thing where it's not just specific to fitness. There's just, you can be creative about it. And so that's what I think really helped me is like, how could I get creative with this? I don't have to pull from other areas. I just can get more creative. I can exercise with my wife. I can do this before the kids wake up. I can bring them out on a walk. And it just gave me that opportunity of being more creative about it. And yes, I was trying many different programs until I found something. And here's the thing. People need to realize, like, when they are looking for a program and they find something and they try it and it doesn't work, it has nothing to do with you and your worth and whether or not this is possible for you. It's that thing didn't work out for you. I mean, how many different eating plans and fitness plans are there out there? There's a million.
So many.
And I've heard of people doing some weird things and seeing some incredible results. And it's because that worked for them. So instead of beating yourself down, just got to think, okay, what's next? I've given this like an honest couple month shot. I've been 100% all in and this doesn't work for me. What's that next thing? And I think that desire to understand that it's not you that's the problem here. It's just you haven't found something that works for you around your career, whatever it is. And when you find that thing, which is, you know, what we both found, it's like, man, this is it. This is the thing that works for me. And it really doesn't have anything to do with you as much as it has to do with the fact that those things weren't congruent in your life.
I love it. If you can really focus on that, if your listeners, is that I tell people all the time that I have a way to train, not the way to train. And you need to find what the way to train is for you.
Yes.
You know, so pick and choose, play around with it. But you may also find that, you know, what you did for 2 months at the beginning is not enough for the next 2 months. So you also, there is a progressive journey as well. So you may need to up your game a little bit and do something a little bit different. So when was it in your journey where you realized you got this? I mean, because it takes a long time to build a habit.
Yep.
You know, the first couple of months are really tough. You're like trying to force it. When did you realize you had it and you had taken that initial motivation and it evolved into discipline?
Great, great question. So, for me, I'm a naturally disciplined person, but even then, it still took me a long time. So in this process of trying new things, it took me maybe two and a half years to actually find something that was sustainable for me, that could be that lifelong process for me. And since it's been about 9 years since I've been on that, really like connecting with that that system that kind of worked for me. I guess it really was just like, it's kind of hard. Can you ask and repeat that question one more time?
Yeah, it's just like, when did you find that you had it?
Okay, there you go.
This was a new habit for you that you're solid, you're all in, and it's working. You're seeing the results.
So at about 2.5 years, I made this change where I was trying all of these things on my own. And I was trying to do the gym on my own. I was trying to read the fitness articles on my own. I was doing all these things because that ego thing was popping up, right? I can figure this out. It's just eat less and exercise more, right? Mm. right? Yeah. So that's what I was, that's the plan that I was on. And I was like losing and gaining and going, what is going on? But I still had a decision of like, hey, I'm going to find something that works. It wasn't until I started surrounding myself with the right people and put myself in an environment of accountability that got me to like really step it up. And I became more open to accepting like information from other people. I mean, it was an aha moment because so many times in like, let's say my police career, I had a lieutenant who was like my mentor, the person who like taught me so many different things, but I was pushing back in terms of any possibility in the fitness realm or any possibility in becoming a better parent or anything like that. Like I could just figure it out on my own. I'll just read books and do all that kind of stuff. So it was about the 2.5 year mark when I started hanging out with other people who were either growing themselves or they were in that middle of that fat loss journey too, or they had achieved it. And there were people who were in my career, in my police career. And by doing that, it just got me to level up. And discipline just happened all by itself. Because when you have other people who are kind of watching you and you're putting yourself in that uncomfortable position of like, hey, this is what I'm going to do. There's just a different level. It's like exercising in the gym versus going to one of your classes. Like, you know, you go to exercise at the gym. Some people are just walking around, just like looking at the gym equipment. They'll pick up but you're like in a class. You're like, no, I've got to show up and I've got to do this. And I've got to put in my effort because this person next to me is kind of looking at me, even though they're not, they're thinking the same thing, right? I wonder what they're thinking. You know what I mean? But in reality, it was that group atmosphere. So that's really when it took off for me, is when I surrounded myself with other people who were pushing themselves and I was pushing myself and we were kind of like being held to this higher standard that got me to just really continue to show up.
I love it. Groups are the best. Iron sharpens iron. I mean, that is so true. I have a group here in Maryland that we meet every morning, 6 a.m. Monday through Friday. And then I give them a couple hours on Saturday. We meet at 8 on Saturday, but we take Sunday off. And we get after it. And, you know, every day I wake up at 5 o'clock, you know, there are days when I don't feel like going to get out of bed. You know, I sometimes the hardest, the most comfortable you will ever be is like 10 minutes before the alarm clock rings. You know, it's just, you just know it's about to ring and you're like, oh, I'm just so comfortable. I don't want to move. But you know, so we're not always this hyper motivated person that wants to go out and do these things. But if you just get out and tie your movement and your fitness with some other thing that you like to do, you will find that that it's easier to do. It's easier to build a habit when you tie it into another habit. So I was always used to waking up early. I didn't necessarily go work out first, but it was just a thing that I liked to wake up early and, you know, read the paper, or, you know, do something like that. And I just happened, it just so happened to, we just started doing this workout at 6 a.m. and we just tied it into it. And for now, since 2003, we have been doing this, this workout program, as a group, and it accumulates over 600 hours a year of training that we do. And we do it for free. It's Heroes of Tomorrow training program here in Maryland. And it's just so much fun, but you are so right about the importance of that group, because I guarantee you, if I didn't have 15, 20 guys waiting on me to go work out, you know, it'd be real easy to hit that snooze button again and just stay in bed. You know, having a buddy system is very important. So would you say that when you hit that buddy system phase that you had another, you know, exponential, you know, improvement in your journey?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Kind of like what you said, it just got me to show up and not just show up, but to show up with a different level of intensity. I mean, what you were talking about, like when the alarm goes off, like there's going to be days where you are motivated to get up and you're ready to like hit it, right? You were like, hey, who needs me to be on my A game today? I am showing up. And there's days you're like, man, I feel like crap. Well, what's amazing is like when you're around other people, their days hopefully don't coincide with your days. So they're like, hey, I'm ready to hit it. What's up with you, Mark? Why don't you come on? And it just gets you to just level yourself up. So yes, there was a big push in me. And what's funny is, like, it wasn't necessarily them. It was just, a lot of it even had to do, like, the thoughts about, like, what would it be like if I were to let this person down? And it was kind of like actually an intrinsic internal motivator of, like, hey, I've got to keep showing up and being on my A game. And I just want to take a second though, first, because you just talked a minute ago. I want to acknowledge and appreciate you for a second, because most people don't know the kind of energy and effort that it takes to put into something like you've created, to put 600 hours per year into a training program to create this group for people. I mean, literally, you have this group, you've created it for them, and you're giving it to them for free. And just like creating not only this camaraderie, but helping people with their health and with their fitness and with all these things. It's not easy. I know it's not. So I just want to take a second to say that is incredible. I love that you're doing that. And just goes to show the type of person you are, Stu.
Well, thank you very much. It's a lot of fun, you know, and it gives me a lot of hope for the future. Oops, sorry, my dog's back in the background. but I will say this, the group that we have has grown to, you know, bigger and bigger numbers over the years. And you know, it's just so much fun. And they give me, you know, reason to wake up. You know, also, as a trainer, if I'm going to write about training, I need to be training.
Yes.
You know, so I see 15, 20 people or more every day who have some kind of problem we got to work around and adjust a training program, which gives me an idea to coach better and, you know, think a little bit better. And then we bring in specialists in that are, you know, doctors of physical therapy that can work on, you know, some overuse injuries, because especially with my spec ops guys, you got guys that are borderline, you know, always overdoing it. You know, yes. Just if you can keep them on the other side of that line, the better. But yeah. You know, sometimes you gotta push that. So, I guess my next question for you is, what's next for you? Like, what are you doing now? And you know, you have a podcast called LEO Family Fitness.
Yes,
that's what it's called. So I'll put the link to that in the description of this podcast as well, so people can find you, especially if you're a law enforcement officer that is looking at, you know, trying to understand the best methods of fitting fitness into your career, into your life. You know, Mark has some great ideas to do that. So let's do this. Let's say, you know, you've been helping people do this. What's your number one, whenever I say this, who's the person that comes to mind? You don't have to give a name. Who's the person that comes to mind when you think about, you know, being a part of their journey and helping them?
Ooh, great question. What comes to mind is a law enforcement officer who's kind of in the hamster wheel, basically not getting any sleep, not taking care of their own health. There's this great quote that's like, don't come home with a pocket full of money to a home full of strangers. Somebody who's like working massive amounts of overtime, people who are like, they're thinking that the job is kind of forcing them to do this. And if they were to put boundaries on their career and spend more time on their health, spend more time on their family, it actually would be taking from their career. So that person was me, I guess. I kind of see myself. And so when you say like, what's next? So this all started with just my fitness journey. I mean, it all starts there, right? It starts with me losing some weight, but that was the smallest kind of transformation. I know we talked about this earlier, internal. So I used to, for maybe like 7 or 8 years, just focus on fitness. And then I made the decision about a year and a half ago to expand and really start helping law enforcement officers for those other two pieces, which is their family and setting better boundaries at work. And doing so they can still lead from the front and they could still have the level of leadership and the level of influence that they do at work, but also making an impact at home with their family. And because I know so many times that for me being on the job, when I wasn't connecting with my family, I felt like sort of like there was a piece missing, right? I couldn't be fully present at work and vice versa. When I was at home, I was thinking about all of these other things that I had to do at work. And being able to separate that out and being able to realize that they all play off of each other. On my podcast, I call them the pillars, right? So they're your mental and physical fitness. You have your family and you have your career, and each one hold the structure up. And if you drop one, it starts to wobble, right? And you drop another one and like it kind of starts falling down, and then you have the problems that I kind of have. So with that in mind, what I've done is I still help people with their health and their fitness, but I've also made a change, and I've created what's like mastermind groups is basically what it is. Because like you talked about earlier, it's the power of the people that you surround yourself with, the expectations of those people that get you to really level up. And it's not just with your fitness, but it's also with your family. It's also like with your career. And what I mean by family is like, it's so many people, like, let's say they go home to their wife or to their kids and they ask them, oh, how was your day? And they ask them those questions that really are just the normal day-to-day thing. You're not really connecting with them because you're not asking them a good question. And a better question could be like, hey, when you feel most connected to me, what is it we're doing? Like, how am I showing up? Like, where are we? You know, when we had, before we had kids, what is something that we used to do that you really love doing that you miss doing now? Those kind of questions connect you better, and it doesn't take any more time. And after that conversation that you have, I mean, I literally had like an hour conversation about that one. Like, when you feel most loved by me, what is it that I'm doing that makes you feel that way? Boom. Like Dang. The answers that kind of came out of that was like hours of, hey, this is this and this is this. So not only does it give me like evidence so that I know what to do, right? And know what not to do, but it also at the end of that, we feel so much more connected because we've gotten into that deep kind of like conversation rather than, hey, how was your day? How are the kids? How was homeschooling? And so that's kind of what I mean by connecting with your family. It's really not that difficult to do all three of them, but they all hold the structure up. And that's what Power of a Mastermind is. You surround yourself by other people who are asking good questions like that. It naturally rubs off on everybody else, just like your fitness team rubs off on everybody else who shows up, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's really good. Yeah, I've never really gotten into that phase of coaching. I've kind of just stayed in a fitness lane. However, I will say this. I do have people who have problems with what you just mentioned, you know, with overworking and less family and things like that. So I do say this. I say, look, man, you're one of these really hard go-getters, right? At work and at these workouts. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to put the same mindset that you have going into these workouts into your family. So when you drive up into that driveway of yours and you get, you're about to go in, take a big deep breath, change gears, and say, you know what? I'm going to be the best dad and husband I can be when I walk through that door, right? What that looks like, I have no idea. You know, it might just be, you know, you cook for the night, or you go, you know, just help out in the house, or you go play catch with your son, you know, whatever that is, you know, just be available 100%.
I love that. I love that.
And just, you know, and then guys that are like, you know, A type, like, yeah, I'm going to be the best, you know, can really understand that mindset going into the door. You just got to change your focus.
Oh, for sure. For sure. And you brought up another great point there. And so when we think about like fitness, in the moment, it can kind of be a little painful, but afterwards, how do we feel? We feel amazing. Awesome. And it like carries us out. Well, sometimes we can get to thinking that spending this time creating that connection at home or setting those boundaries at work is for the other person. But in reality, it's for you. Because like, just like when exercising, you get a benefit from that. When you go home and you sit down for 15 minutes, you're gonna be like, oh my God, I'm exhausted. It's end of watch. Like, I've had all of this massive overtime. Like, I don't really feel like doing this. You sit down for 15 minutes, give that undivided attention, ask great questions of your family. Afterwards, do they feel good? Probably. Do you feel good? You feel like a million bucks. You're like, I did what I was supposed to do. I feel like amazing dad. That's something you can't buy. You can't buy that feeling. So many times we think we do it for other people. We don't. We do it for ourselves because we can't transfer that feeling to somebody else, right? We do it. We show up the way that we're supposed to show up. We set a boundary at work. Hey guys, sorry, I can't work all this overtime because I need to be home for my family. That might be hard in the moment, but when you get home and you tell your family that, how's that going to make you feel?
Oh, you're going to feel incredible. Like, yeah.
I'm amazed. And how many other areas of your life will that flow into? I mean, it flows into everything. It's not just one, right?
Yeah.
So you know, like you said, reframing.
I'll be honest with you, you know, fitness has been the catalyst for everything for me. You know, it just, not everybody's like me. I get it, you know, but fitness has been the thing that makes me create a work ethic that I can take into work. you know, the same thing. It gives me extra energy that I can play with the kids and, you know, hang out with the family. And, you know, those are very important things. So fitness does add to the big picture, like you said. So, hey, I'm going to change gears here before we go, but I just wanted to say, first of all, thank you for 18 years as a police officer, you know, serving your community. You know, for those people who are thinking about becoming a police officer, wanting to serve, but, you know, there are times in our history, like right now, that it is really difficult to be a police officer, right? Mm-hmm. What advice would you have for them? You know, those folks that are considering community service, such as, you know, law enforcement?
Great question. And I'll answer that with a question. And that is, like, what amazing opportunity do you have right now that's never been possible in the world? Like, right now, with all the things that are going on, you have an amazing opportunity to not only transform the future, but, like, it's literally in your hands. You get the opportunity of really showing people what police are all about. I know that with everything in the media and stuff like that, there's a lot of people who are getting deterred from doing it. But the opposite I've seen too, you know, being in the field, I see a lot of people coming to me and going, hey, I want to create this kind of like movement, this change. I want to be that positive person who's out on the street. And this is a great opportunity. So one of the questions I always ask myself is, like, what opportunity does this present me that would have not been possible if it hadn't happened? That happened with COVID too. What opportunity does coronavirus, like, give me that I would have never had before? And it's created better connection with my family. It's created, like, more structure in my life. It's created the ability of creating more boundaries. It's allowed me to help more people, like, in an online capacity. And if I had been focused in a different direction, it would have led me down that direction. So I say, anybody who is, like, committed to, like, hey, I want to make a change, I want to become a law enforcement officer, just think of the opportunity that you have right now in front of you. I mean, never in history has there been an opportunity that there is, like, right now.
Yeah, you can definitely make it better. For you sure. know, I mean, not that it's, I think it's horrible. Yes, we all have issues with, you know, bad cops and, you mm-hmm. know, not doing the right thing or being in a situation and maybe could have handled it better. But at the same time, we could always be better regardless of what profession we're in, you know, 100%. And make it better. So, you know, I really appreciate that. That's a really good way to answer that question. So final question for you. Your 100-pound weight loss journey, how long did that take you?
Maybe about two and a half years total.
Yeah. So I wanted to just mention this. You know, you usually, you know, no one gains 100 pounds overnight. Mm-hmm. You know, right. It is a long journey to gain 100 pounds. It is equally long to lose it. Mm-hmm. You know, it is a lifestyle change. There's no 6-week program that's going to do that for you. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no 10-week program that's going to do it for you. I mean, the best I've ever seen someone lose 80 pounds is a year. Mm-hmm. You know, that's and do it healthfully. Right. You know, they right. didn't do it by starving themselves. They actually did it by moving more and eating right. But yeah, that's a really important thing I wanted to emphasize there for anybody who is, you know, battling weight, because it is an epidemic here in the United States that the number one reason why people can't serve their country or their community is because they are not meeting a height and weight standard that is set by those groups. It used to be, you know, 30, 40 years ago, it was a criminal record or education was the number one and number two reason why you couldn't serve. Today, it is height and weight standards.
Crazy. That's crazy because that is 100% within our realm of change. I mean, it's everything that we can control. That is 100% controllable by us.
Yeah. So if you're a big guy or gal that trying to lose some weight, you know, find a system that works for you. And the best thing to do is just keep trying all of them. You know, eventually you're going to start seeing results, you know, from your movement, from your focus on eating less and eating better. All of those things tie together. Like I said, a 1-2 punch to get rolling is start walking and start drinking water. Mm-hmm. Those two. I have actually seen people lose 20 pounds in a week just because they were just holding on to so much water. You know, they didn't drink a lot of water, so they were kind of bloated. Their body was retaining all this water. You know, if you drink, literally drink a gallon a day of water, you will, you do that for a week, you will probably, even though you took in 7 gallons in a week, you'll pee out about 10 gallons, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. And, you know, a gallon of weight, you know, a gallon of water weighs about 8 pounds. So you could lose really 20, 21 pounds of water weight in a week if you're storing it. And how do you know right. if you're storing it? You know, you can see it when you take off your socks, you know, you still have your socks imprinted, you know, you take off your watch and, you know, there's a, you know, your fingers, you know, when you take off a ring, you know, they're still there, or you can't fit on a ring, you know, you're just mm-hmm. retaining a lot of water. And that's really dangerous. You know, it's hypertension that, you know, it leads to all these different ailments that, you know, can really be dangerous, you know, medically for you as well. So I'm sorry, I'm really focusing on your 100-pound weight loss because I think it's just a fascinating goal achievement that, you know, like you said, you know, with the police community making it better, you know, because you are overweight, you have a great goal to try to achieve, mm-hmm. you know, just like the police community right now is trying to achieve a better community as well, you know, take it internally and turn it around. And you have an incredible goal to be able to do it. And it's not impossible. That's the thing. You know, Mark is a perfect example of seeing is believing. You know, a lot of people just have to see it to believe it before they can actually move forward. But yeah, check out Mark's website or his podcast, which is LEO Family Fitness. Do you have a website as well where people can contact you and ask you, or they just find you on your podcast?
They can find me on my podcast, also on Instagram. I'm Leo Family Fitness.
Okay.
Or, yep, that's where to find me. And I want to just say this. So what, like for somebody right now who is in that point where they're the old Mark or the old Stu, and they're focused on like all of the things that they've done in the past that have gotten them to where they are. I really just want you to see the opportunity that you have right now. Because you have an opportunity to make this change. Not only will it impact you, but it'll impact your family. People will be watching you at work. Like no matter what, like you will have exponential impact, not just for you, but for everybody else around you. And if you continue to focus on that, that will push you through. I mean, you guys already have access to Stu here. He is like the tactical professional, like just fully commit to what he tells you to do, drinking more water, getting out and moving. You have like the blueprint. Of how to succeed. Now it's just a matter of continuing to remember that you have an amazing opportunity right now and your past does not dictate your future. You can make a different decision right now and take a different action right after this podcast gets done. And your past is really irrelevant other than from learning from it. So I just want to make sure that you guys understand this is a great opportunity and just keep plugging in.
Mark, I love it. We're going to end it with that because that's a great way to close this out. I appreciate your time. Thank you for your service. Everybody, if you're looking for Mark's information, I will post it below in the description of this video that's up on YouTube as well as on the podcast platforms as well for the description. So, Mark, thank you for your time and thank you for everything you do.
Thank you, Stu.